Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Rumble, Band.video, Vigilante.tv, or you are listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate the support. If you want to connect with me, the website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Macroaggressions. Big thanks to the sponsors that make the show happen. EMP Shield is building the most effective device out there. It can handle up to 40 EMP strikes. It's better than the military grade ones that they've created. You can take a look at empshield.com to find out how it can work for your home, your car, motorhome, boat, generator, whatever you've got. You can probably install one on it with a with four wires, just like a type 2 surge protector. It's fairly easy to install. There's installation videos on the website, or you can find them on YouTube. So go to empshield.com and use the promo code MACRO to save yourself some money. Also, thanks to Tim James and the crew over at Chemical Free Body. They're making fantastic vitamins and supplements that actually work. I'm on the detox bundle, 90-day program, getting me leaned out for Narcapulco. And I suggest you take a look. Just go to chemicalfreebody.com, search for the bundles. They've got a detox bundle there. You can find that. It's Green 85, Toxin Detox, Gut Detox, Ultra Enzymes, and Probiotics. It'll lean you out in a hurry. I've done it before. It had amazing results. So chemicalfreebody.com, promo code on your way out is MACRO. And are you coming to Mexico in February, February 11th through the 16th? You can catch us at Anarcapulco, the largest anarchist conference in the world, happening in Acapulco, Mexico. This is the 10th anniversary. We are excited to be there. I'm excited to be a part of the process as the host and MC. Take a look. Anarcapulco.com is the place to go. Promo code for that is MACRO. And well, if that isn't the best segue I could think of to bring in our guest, I don't know what is. He is the founder of Anarcapulco and the Dollar Vigilante and the Crypto Vigilante, and he's currently helping to dig Acapulco out of their mess. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Berwick. Good to see you again, Jeff. How are you?
Good, Charlie. Good to see you too.
There's this book also. I might have forgotten to mention it. Controlled Demolition of the American Empire. I see it over your shoulder as well. Yeah. Two lunatics wrote this a while ago. Didn't know that it was going to be an instruction manual for global tyranny, but I mean, it wasn't really our fault, right? We're just calling it like we see it.
Yeah, it's no, I knew it was basically an instruction manual for what was to come. I think you did as well. It's all very clear, especially when you understand all the history of what's been going on, where it's all headed. I remember when we were writing that book, we actually started before the COVIDs. And I kind of put it on hold as soon as the COVIDs came out, because I was like, I want to see what this is all about before we put the book out, because I want to make sure that this is part of the book as well. And we waited a couple months just to make sure that we were pretty comfortable with what we thought of it, which was that it's total bullshit and that it's going to lead into a vaccine genocide to depopulate the planet. That turned out to be true as well. It's kind of a weird sort of a thing, knowing all these things are happening or going to happen, maybe not exactly, but in general, and then being right over and over again. It's kind of like, kind of wish we weren't always right. But, you know, in a way, this all happens for a reason. This is, in my opinion, this is all an awakening of, it's an actual soul test, as Max Egan says. It's pushing people to wake up, which is what the apocalypse is the lifting of the veil. The things that we're talking about now, if people watched it 10 years ago, they would have thought we were absolutely insane talking about all these things. Bill Gates is trying to kill everyone on Earth and all these sort of things. And now it's for most people, I think it's at least something you can at least talk about or think about. So, but I think in the end, it's for all of us to change, to actually really wake up, not be woke. That's what they put out to try to like, because they also know this is going on. There's an awakening happening. There's an apocalypse happening. And they try to sabotage it or co-opt it as usual. So they started up their woke stuff and say that's woke. But that's so asleep. It's unbelievable. For me, even personally, this is, I've transformed so much just in the last few years, because I've kind of had to, through all these things that have been going on, I've had to go even deeper into myself, do the self-work even more. And I think that's what a lot of this is really all about. So I don't really look at it all as negative. I look at it all as we're in this 3D video game, and apparently we're supposed to learn things and to become better and better and actually win the game. All this stuff is just pushing a lot of us to do that. And that's a lot, as you know, of the things that we talk about at Narcopoco is about how to, whether it's in the health area, which has become quite big in the last few years. It's those guys in the butcher coats that are practicing are not there to help you in any way, usually, except for possibly emergency situations where you're in a car crash and you're bleeding to death and stuff like that. But other than that, for your health, the last person you would ever want to go to is a guy in a butcher coat who took about 3 hours of nutrition education in his 8 years of indoctrination. So people are learning about that. People are starting to finally learn about cryptos. Why do you need them? Well, the CBDCs are coming. Everyone's seeing how the banking system is so you can hardly do anything anymore. I hear about it every day from people about I tried to transfer some money and they want to know what I had for dinner like 8 years ago and that sort of a thing. But that's what crypto is there for. So we've been talking about this all at Narcopoco for 10 years. This is our 10th year anniversary coming up. But that's what I think it's more all about. I think instead of people getting all depressed about how evil this whole system is and what's going on, they should be looking at this as an opportunity to improve themselves dramatically. And you can actually supersede all this stuff incredibly and actually create reality itself and actually get out of this matrix. You can actually do that. And that's some of the stuff I've been working on.
I'll tell you, Anarchapulco for me has been such an eye-opener because I had this misconception the first time I came that it was going to just be about like, fuck the government, and it was just going to be that. And if it was just that, I would totally understand it and it would be a great conference. But it's like a three-legged stool. You know, the government is evil and corrupt, but then there's also the health component to it. And then there's the crypto component. There's the homeschooling, unschooling side of things. It's really teaching people how to excel outside of this existing paradigm. Intuitively that the system is broken and you kind of need to get away from it. And you know that your kids are stuck in government schools and they shouldn't be there. but you don't really have a plan until you meet somebody like David Rodriguez from the Gatto Institute, who says, well, listen, I've got this whole homeschooling program that I can lay out. I can show you how any kid can fit into this. And you go, okay, well, here's some solutions. And then you meet the crypto vigilante team, and they're talking about Monero, and they're talking about how you want to get yourself sort of outside of the view of the banks. And it's not just complaining about this, but there's actually solutions as well. So every time I go, I bring my notepad, I take a bunch of notes. I meet a lot of people, of course, because there's so interesting people from all over the world. So I always tell people that I think they should come once, just come once and see what you think and tell me how you feel. Because whenever I leave, I feel conflicted. Like I'm really thrilled that I had been there, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity and to meet the people. But then I'm a little bummed too, because it's like, oh, I got to go back to the real world. And so I'm thinking, well, I may have to for a little while, but it doesn't mean I have to give up these relationships. Who do we have coming this year? Who are we? I mean, I think a lot of people have gotten a good rundown on the location, the Secret Garden, Jardín Secreto, because if anyone's been watching Max Egan's videos for the last 2 years of the Crow House, he's been giving you basically a guided tour of the facilities. It's a beautiful location, the botanical garden, and it's multiple days. So it's like, if you don't, you know, if you can get there and watch the presentations all day long, and then at night go out to the dinners, go out to the VIP dinners, go to the comedy hours, or see what the band is that's playing. But I know we've got Max Egan, who's going to be there, of course, Larkin Rose, David Icke is coming in virtually. The doctors are going to be there. Dr. Andrew Kaufman, I saw, is back. This is going to be a good one, huh? But it feels like a little bit more of an important one. Like the vibe has changed. It's more of like a pivot to service, you know, as opposed to like anything else. Given the hurricane, we'll get into that. So what are we expecting for this 10th year? The biggest one, the best one yet.
Yeah, I think it will be, because of all the things that have happened just in the last few months. this hurricane wasn't a hurricane. It was a directed weather weapon at Anarcapulco. It hit Anarcapulco dead on, although it didn't damage at all the area where we hold the event, exactly at the Secret Garden. But because of that, we've been working with the entire community in Anarcapulco, including the orphans at the Marsh Children's Home, for a couple of months, basically saving people's lives. So this is going to be a really incredible sort of a 10th anniversary. And we actually called it the theme Reborn before this all happened. So it's just totally incredible that this all happened. And now Acapulco is being reborn, and we've actually helped do it, help it be reborn, thanks to so many donations, over $400,000 in donations from freedom lovers all over the world, a lot of it in Monero. Because of that, I think it's just going to be an incredible event. The orphans actually were some of the people who are really helping us to help other people who needed food, supplies, water, all kinds of things. So I think it's just going to be incredible from that viewpoint. As you pointed out, actually the very first year was 2015, and it was actually how you thought it was. It was a lot of people really just pointing out how government itself is illegitimate. It actually isn't even real. It's just a belief system in people's minds, and how the way, because it's based on violence and theft and extortion, it is a at its basic level, an evil system. And because of that, it actually ruins so many things. And so we talked about that a lot in the first year. You know, you can show just from any angle, from stats, numbers, you just look at, you know, the more free countries on Earth versus the least free countries on Earth. So the least free are places like North Korea, the US. As there's a lot of, you know, like less free countries out there, and they do a lot worse. The US used to do a lot better when it was a lot more free, like 50, 100 years ago, even though it still wasn't totally free, it was a lot freer. They look at Dubai and Singapore, places where they have quite a bit less government involvement, definitely a lot less extortion. They always do better. So we pointed that all out. But after a couple of years, it started to become clear that, especially to me, that the answer wasn't so much pointing out the problem. And actually, I started to realize the real problem for me and for so many people, way worse than the government, way, way worse, a million times worse, if you can believe it, is basically your own mind and what it does to you if you don't do the work on it to deprogram yourself, because everyone's been programmed in various ways via television programming, via Hollywood movies, via just their parents, via their grandparents, via their teachers at government indoctrination camps. To do that work, because I think most people understand or realize when they look around that most people sabotage themselves, and it's because they haven't done the work on themselves. So I, along the way, really realized that far worse than the government is basically yourself. It's actually, you can do the work on yourself. And then even whatever the governments do is so much less of a problem for you, especially if you do the things that we've been talking about, which is disconnect yourself from the entire system. So don't send your kids to the government indoctrination camps. Unschooling is so much better. My daughter, by the way, who's 17, basically ran our operations for the last 2 months in Acapulco and ran it like a boss. I didn't even ask her to do it. She just went and did it. And that's an unschooled kid right there. She knows how to do things. She's done stuff. She's been doing stuff. She's actually working right now, as we speak, at a veterinary clinic where she's basically training as a veterinarian. No schooling at all involved. She's just learning about it from a vet, which is the way it actually should be. We've along the way, it's just become more and more about working on yourself more. And I don't want to say that so much like if you come to Narcopoco, it's not like a boot camp, a military camp where you're going to work on yourself. You're going to make you do push-ups mentally and physically and all these kinds of things. It's not like that, but you have the resources there for everything and people who are already doing these things to do work on yourself if you want. So it's kind of turned into like a bit of a retreat slash, calling it a conference doesn't really sound right to me. I don't know about you.
No, it's more, my wife puts on conferences around the world for like corporations and everything. This is not that. It is a totally different animal, and thank God, because you're going to meet interesting people that you've never even considered interacting with. I'm always blown away by how many people I meet, and I say, "Well, where are you from?" And they say, "Well, I was from Canada, but now I live in Mexico," or "I was from the US and now I live in Mexico." Obviously, we get the Australians and the New Zealanders. They come up because they're living under tyrannical governments, and they want to get away from that. So I expect to see them there. But I'm always kind of surprised at how many expats show up, people that have either come to the conference and gotten the idea, hey, there's a better way of living, or just gotten tired of the system back home in Canada or in America. And this last year, the 2023 one back in February, it was nice to see all the Canadians that felt like they'd finally got, they'd opened up the prison doors and allowed them to travel for once, to see Dan Dix and those guys going, hey, it's just good to be, it's good to be out and about. And that's who you're going to get there at the conference. I encourage people, look, there's worse places to be than Mexico in February too, right? I mean, I'm coming out from Denver and it's really cold and very miserable during the winter here. So I'm grateful to be out in someplace sunny, but it's a contagious environment. The people that I've met there make me want to elevate myself a little bit more. You mentioned, you talked about like working on yourself. If there's whatever you're into, there's probably somebody there that can help you with it. If not as a speaker at the conference, but then maybe with workshops or whatnot. The ayahuasca ceremonies I've done that. The DMT ceremonies, those are pretty powerful. I got a chance to meet Bearheart last year, the shaman. He's a good dude. I had a great conversation with him and talked about things. So I wind up, I don't know, it's inspiring. It's like recharging your batteries and keeps you going for the following year. But But that's just, I don't know if that's the location. Secret Garden's pretty awesome. I don't know if that's the location, if it's the people, if it's the topics, but it felt like, it always feels like way more than a conference. And I think that one of the things that really kind of caught me off guard, and I always tell this story, is how the first year I was there, I was waiting in the lobby of the Princess Munda, and it was like a Friday night, and it was like about 8 o'clock, and all these buses lined up. And I was like, what's going on over there? And I asked some guy that was waiting next to me, he goes, oh, those are the buses that are taking people to the nature preserve to let the baby sea turtles out at night so they don't get eaten. I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, three buses? He's like, oh yeah. He's like, it's a hugely popular event. I was like, damn, man. In my mind, I was like, I guess the Molotov cocktail throwing contest isn't happening. You know what I mean? It's like, you're letting baby sea turtles out. Like, is that anarchy? But apparently that's like the most purest form of anarchy, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, we have so many things like that. It's quite the opposite of what most people think it is. In fact, most people, your average person thinks what we talk about there is all crazy and we're, you know, just insane. We don't inject ourselves with poison that Bill Gates like designs that changes your DNA. And, you know, we actually had people speaking out about that even before it happened. We had Del Bigtree the year before, 2020 or 2019, talking about don't take any of these vaccines, any of them. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and a bunch of people actually asked me, like, why do you have these people here talking about vaccines? And I was basically like, you're going to see, because we could see it coming. We didn't know how. I would never have guessed how they did it. I still can't believe how they did it. There is no COVID. Like, it's made up, and people still to this day believe it's real. We're almost in 2024, and there's still people walking around with surgeon's masks. They're scared, you know, they're gonna, like, someone's gonna cough and they're gonna die. It's just incredible. But and we had Vice Media come. People were mad at me for allowing them to come, but I'm like, anyone who wants to come, and even if they want to try to slag us, go ahead, because what we're saying is the truth. For the most part, if it's not 100%, we're trying our best to be 100%. But if you want to feature that, and then Vice came, and they're like, these people are crazy anti-vaxxers. They came during the height of the COVID pandemic, plandemic, and actually, that year, there was only one person who had a medical issue at the event, and it was one of the Vice producers who passed out at the event, and he had been lethally injected. And they were talking about in their thing about how we're all crazy, how we're all going to die. For Anarchapoco, kind of for me, is a place where you can go where most people are pretty awake. And that's pretty rare. There's not many places you can go in the world where there's going to be hundreds or even thousands sometimes, but it is usually in the hundreds, probably going to be around 500 this year, something like that, where almost everyone's pretty awake to what's going on in the world. And that's just not very common. I'm lucky because most of my friends, my family, everyone knows this stuff. So I hear from people, they're like, I don't look forward to Thanksgiving dinners with the family, hearing about how I should get a lethal injection and why am I, you know, doing this and who I should vote for and all these sort of things. And so I'm quite lucky that way. So I guess a little bit of Anarchapoco is showing you a bit of my life and my friends and my people, all in a beautiful location. As you said, in February, I'm here north of Mexico City right now. I've got this sweater on because it's freezing cold with this global boiling going on. And it's been so cold. They even had that COP28 and a bunch of their jets got frozen to the tarmac in Germany, which happens all the time. But they keep trying to push it. All this global warming hoax stuff. But at Anarchapoco for at least 1 week, and it's actually more than a week, really, if you come for, there's a whole other week afterwards. If you come for it, you can be around kind of sane people, but most of the world consider us all insane. And that's fine because they're insane themselves. It's very clear to see at this point. Even, you know, back in the old days, I'd be saying most people on Earth are non-player character, brainwashed slaves. And I think a lot of people were like, not most, Jeff. And then you saw the COVIDs. It's just like they all watch the television. They're all just programmed and they just put on their surgeon's mask and, you know, stand 6 feet apart and shut down their their businesses and all that kind of stuff because the television told them to. So we're starting to see that. It's a very interesting time where even the Vice reporter, by the way, when we were doing all these recovery operations, which is almost all the people at Anarchapoca were doing, she made a little post about these people aren't as bad as I thought they were. It's like, no, we're not at all. But you guys are brainwashed. And, you know, you can't really talk to brainwashed people. They're fluoridated, they're brainwashed, they're lethally injected, they're chemtrailed. They watch a little Black Mirror all day, which just programs them in so many ways. They go for 12 years of government indoctrination camps where they get programmed. You basically can't talk to them. But at Anarchapoco, none of those people are there. So for like a week, you get to just be around just what I call just normal people. It's the way people should be, but there's not many of them.
No, and they come in all ages, age ranges, and all ethnicities and nationalities. And I would remind people, if you can't make it, that's cool. We understand, but there's a live stream component too. You can watch it from the safety of your home. If you can't travel, if you're not ready to get out, or you can't swing it financially, that totally understand. There's options where you can live stream it. I think it's worth it. Let's talk a little bit about what you guys have done to get the city ready for Anarchapoco, because HurricaneOtisRecovery.com is a website I've been sending people to so that they can get involved and donate money. It's going to you guys. You guys are buying actual things that they needed. You were buying chainsaws and food and water and clothing and helping them to rebuild their places. It wasn't going into some Swiss bank account that the Clinton Foundation controlled in the Cayman Islands or, you know, some obscure, opaque place. No, this is money that was being donated to you guys, and you guys were just straight up buying everything you could get your hands on in neighboring cities and trucking it in on a loop. I was pretty impressed with the operation that you had there. Let's talk about what happened with this hurricane and why the mainstream media just forgot to report on it.
Now, I think they don't want people to know what really happened, because it actually, for normal things, a Cat 5 hurricane hitting dead on a city in Mexico, that should be number one news on all the fake stream media, talking about global warming and how these hurricanes are getting so much worse, and you got to pay your carbon tax and eat bugs, and you can't drive your car anymore. Like, it was a perfect thing, but they actually didn't even, it was hardly anywhere. At the same time, though, going on was all this stuff in Gaza. So that's what most people's attention was on, and rightfully so, because that's another genocide being done by essentially the globalists, the J cult, and all that Zionists and Israelis and all these sort of people. But hardly anyone knew it even happened. And even people in Acapulco didn't know it was happening on the evening it happened. I was one of the only, I don't know how this happens, but I was one of the only people who knew about it in all the whole world. including everyone in Acapulco. So I found out around 7 in the evening, I think it was October 25th, so almost 2 months ago now. And I saw on X or Twitter that someone mentioned Acapulco and hurricane. And I was like, weird, because I pay a little bit of attention to that, because our house is there, our boat was there, a bunch of our families there, so many people from Acapulco are there. So I pay attention to the hurricanes, and I didn't see any about any hurricanes. And so I started to look into it, and there really wasn't anything. There was no media coverage, nothing, zero at all. And so I look into these storm trackers, sort of independent people, and there was a few of them talking about it. And they're like, what is this? How did we miss this? And they're like, oh, there was nothing there like 6 hours ago. Now it's a Cat 3. And then they're like, wait, it's a Cat 4 now. And they're like, it looks like it's going to Cat 5 in the next hour. And so I was just sitting there, and they go, it looks like it just turned and head directly, like right to downtown Acapulco. And they said, by the looks of this thing, and this isn't like the Weather Channel or anything, this is just some guys that I somehow found on Twitter, basically, and YouTube a little bit, and who track these sort of things. And they were all in shock. And they said, it looks like at the speed it's going, it's going to hit Acapulco as a Cat 5 at like 6 in the morning. And so it's by this time, it's about 9 o'clock at night. And I start messaging everyone in Acapulco through all of our channels. We've got, you know, our Narcopoco channels, family channels. I tell everyone, no one believed me. They're like, Jeff, there's like, no one's even talked about a hurricane. What are you talking about? A Cat 5, and it's going to hit by morning. That doesn't happen. These things, usually you can see them coming for a few days away. And I was like, well, not this one. I don't think this is natural. And only one person out of everyone I told actually listened to me and left Acapulco that day. That was my neighbor, who's actually he's my CFO, and his wife is a good old friend of mine. And they have two young children, like 3 and 4 years old, basically. And he wasn't going to leave either. I was like, get out of there. I knew their house. You've probably even been there. We used to have parties there at Michael Nimitz's old house in that area. And it's all outdoors with just some glass windows. And I was like, if it's a Cat 5, there's not going to be much left of your house. It's going to be pretty much completely destroyed. You guys need to leave. And luckily, his wife overheard the conversation, and having a couple young kids, she said, If he says we should go, we should go. And then they said, well, we don't have a car. And I was like, I live up the street. I'm going to have someone bring down my small car for you. And they left within about an hour. And about 4 hours later, everything in Acapulco was destroyed, because it hit at around 1 in the morning, even though the storm tracker guys said it was going to hit around 6. So it went from nothing to Cat 3, 4, 5 in a couple of hours, which does not happen. And then it took a right turn and headed directly for Acapulco and went way faster than anyone thought it could. And then it hit. And from there, everything's no signal, nothing. So I didn't know anything. I was up here north of Mexico City. And it hit just after 1 o'clock. And it was about 3 hours straight of 200 mile per hour plus winds. And pretty much every window in Acapulco was broken. A lot of houses were damaged or destroyed. And we didn't really know anything for like 2 days afterwards, because we had to send people down. They had to get in there, then get out to get internet access to even contact us. But all of that happened in a matter of hours. So everyone in Acapulco that night basically went to sleep, not even knowing there was a tropical storm in the area. At 1 in the morning, all of a sudden, they were in one of the biggest storms that's ever hit anywhere in the world, a population center. And then as soon as it had done, it just sat on Acapulco for like 3 hours. Like, it was like a giant tornado. It wasn't like a hurricane. There wasn't a lot of rain at all. There was barely any rain, which is not normal for hurricanes. It just sat there for 3 hours, like grinding it up. And then it just disappeared. It was just gone. When I drove into Acapulco just, you know, a week after that, or maybe two, I'm looking on Google Maps and I see Acapulco, and it's got this gray outline, which basically shows the outer reaches of all of Acapulco. And so as we're driving, until we hit that gray area, everything looked completely normal, like nothing at all had happened. And as soon as we got into this map area of where Acapulco is, everything's flattened. And so, you know, and when you take into account that Mexico has not gone along with any of these globalist things. In fact, the Mexican president said last year that the U.S. is run by a Jewish mafia, which it obviously is. It's just obvious. Everyone wears a little hat if they want to become in Congress or president. He just speaks the truth a lot of the time. They didn't follow for the COVID stuff. They never had one federal law about the COVIDs. So many people actually moved here because of that and have stayed. A lot of them come to Narcopoco because they couldn't even get out of their other country. So a lot of them just tried to escape, like Max Egan, who left a couple of days before they locked down Australia. He wouldn't have even been able to leave and got to Mexico. And then there was no federal laws at all in Mexico. They didn't go along with banning Monsanto or allowing Monsanto and all the GMO stuff. They've spoken out about the chemtrails. They actually made chemtrails illegal, which is kind of funny when you think about it. Like, who are they making it illegal for?
Don't you go flying airplanes up there and spreading chemicals? You're like,
who's doing that exactly? Well, I think we kind of know, right? It's the globalists, the NATO, the CIA, all these operations, these things. But because of that, I think they targeted Mexico. And so earlier this year in February, 3 Mexican oil refineries in 3 different parts of Mexico all blew up on the same day, sending a message. That's not a coincidence, all on the same day. And then in October of this year, three hurricanes that were massive hit the west coast of Mexico, and they all hit dead on, like absolutely direct on the three major cities on the west coast of Mexico. And that's Cabo, Category 4 it was. It actually hit a little later than Category 4, but it was a Category 4. Category 4 hit Puerto Vallarta dead on. And then the big finale was Category 5 in Acapulco, all within 2 weeks, by the way. And then the media didn't even cover it because they didn't want people looking into it too much. But this was a attack on basically Mexico. And while they're at it, why not hit Acapulco, where there's a lot of freedom lovers, where Narcapulco is. And Max Egan even tracked the hurricane afterwards. Where was the first point of contact? It was at his house. That was the first point of contact, was Max Egan's house. And right behind it is the Secret Garden. So they had a number of agendas with this attack. And I think they were hoping they were going to wipe us out and kill us. Max ended up not even being there. He was supposed to come back the day before, by the way. He was in the US for a conference, and something told him not to go back. He just had an intuition. And my wife told me a month before that we can't go to Acapulco in October because some big energy was going to hit it. She got told by when she was praying this was going to happen. And I just listened to her because she's always right on this stuff. So I wasn't there. And everyone involved in all of our things, no one was killed. I don't know how that happened because this was just a massive, massive destructive event. We just basically have been rebuilding all of Acapulco since then, which I think they also were hoping wasn't going to happen. And we've been helping a lot of the poor areas, which I think they wanted to get rid of a lot of the poor people, but we've actually been helping them survive, helping them rebuild their homes. So we've actually kind of foiled their plans. And, in our Acapulco video, we say they tried to bury us, but they didn't know we are seeds. And this is like such a good example of it. They tried to, as part of all these things they're doing, I think they tried to make it so they destroy our event, and they just made us stronger.
Yeah. Has a tendency to do that. These people aren't very good at putting these plans. They're not very good at measuring the unintended consequences of humanity rallying together and getting through all this stuff and seeing the nonsense. I mean, we just came off of the Maui fires, right? So we already saw what can happen when the government starts getting involved with the messaging. The media is telling you one thing, the police won't let you in and out. You start to get the feeling from the locals on the ground in Maui that what was told to the media was far different from what was actually going on. And then we go into Acapulco right after that, and I'm going, whoa, there's similarities, but where it differs is the fact that the media is not saying anything. Like, at least with Maui, they were saying, oh, there was this massive fire and all these people died. But with Acapulco, it was like, Acapulco what? We didn't hear anything about it. I wouldn't have known about it if it wasn't for you guys in the Telegram chat, messaging everybody and letting us know. And of course, if you're living there, to get caught off guard at 1 o'clock in the morning when you don't know what's happening, I mean, you could have made some preparations. I mean, you could have gone, like you got your neighbors out. If you'd known this, a few hours in advance, it might have been different. Luckily, the death toll wasn't as high as I think some of these hurricanes were. That, I guess, is the good news. But I think they've made a serious catastrophic mistake in their judgment because they don't know the people that go to an Acapulco. Those people are like truth cockroaches. Like, they're impossible to kill them. Like, they're going to come back better than before. I'm excited for this year in part because, I get to be a part of this. Let's talk a little bit about crypto since I've got you here. And I know people are always curious about where things are going with crypto. We had a couple years where things were really good. We had a couple years where things were really bad. I think you look back on these, you've been doing this since Bitcoin was $3, you've seen the cycles. They go up, they come down. We're coming to a Bitcoin halving again, right? Where everything sort of, where the block rewards get cut in half again. And typically that is the beginning of some sort of bull run for the market. I know that you're not Nostradamus, you don't have a crystal ball or anything like that, but given what you know about the history of crypto in general and Bitcoin in particular, Are we setting ourselves up for another run coming pretty soon? Is this the beginning of something else, or is the government going to try and step on it again?
Well, the way I look at things right now is that people really need to stop using government central bank currencies. That's what gives them most of their power. And especially when they pay their extortion, their taxes. You know, when Bitcoin came out and then Monero, I was hoping a lot of the world would just start using these things. And, you know, a lot of people do, I do, but not many on a percentage basis of people in the world actually use them. They still use these, fiat bank, central bank currencies from governments. And that's what gives them most of their power. So I would say before even talking about where it's going, that, people really need to start taking advantage of this money system that gets away from their corrupt money system that just destroys people. It's all they can't have any of these wars without these central banks. They can't have a lot of this poverty without all these central banks. So I would encourage people just to start using them more and more. As far as where it's going to go, well, we talk about in our book, The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire, where everything's headed. And it's basically headed for a collapse of the U.S. It's headed for hyperinflation, which we're getting pretty darn close to now. People don't really recognize it, but, you know, Shohei Ohtani just signed a contract for $700 million. He's one baseball player the other day. Like, that was so, that number would be so insane if you told someone that 10 years ago or 20 years ago. Back then, if you made $1 million contract, that was a big deal. Now, like, I feel bad for Chamillionaire, the rapper. Like, that used to be a big deal. It's like, I'm Chamillionaire. Look, I got $1 million. It's out. Now it's like, you got $1 million. You can maybe get like a bunk bed in San Francisco and share it with like four people in a duplex. That, you know, we're already basically into getting close to hyperinflation. Yeah. More than just thinking about profits, I would say start moving towards these things. Get things like gold and silver as well. A lot of these things are going to become a lot more valuable, but I wouldn't even care what price they are in dollars pretty soon. It'd be like quoting the price in Venezuelan bolivars. It's like, who cares? Like, it doesn't, right. Those things don't matter. Like, they have almost no meaning anymore because they're becoming so inflated. But that said, we are definitely going into a bullish cycle here. We got kind of side-winded a little bit by what happened with FTX. It kind of threw off the cycle a little bit. The whole FTX thing was, of course, another globalist scam through money laundering through the Ukraine and all that kind of stuff. And all the politicians were involved as usual. But because of that, it threw us off a little bit. I think Bitcoin on a cycle basis, looking at the chart, should have hit 100,000 at its high. But because of everything that happened at FTX, it didn't. And then it went all the way down to 15,000 there. What was that, about a year ago? And now we're in a bullish cycle again. And you point out the halving. And yes, we're definitely in a bullish cycle now. And we're expecting much higher prices in Bitcoin and most of the good cryptocurrencies, Monero and Dero and things like that, over the next year or two. But, you know, I don't know where we're headed here. They want to depopulate the planet. By possibly like 90% by possibly 2025. And, you know, if I brought that up 5 years ago, everyone would go, Jeff, you're crazy. It's like they've been trying to kill everyone now for 3 years with lethal injections. And they've been doing a pretty good job. It's been tens of millions of people have been killed, but that's not very big. You know, Bill Gates said in his TED talk, he'd like to reduce the population by at least 10 or 15% using vaccines. It's not even at 10% yet. So they really kind of screwed it up. And, you know, in some ways I'm kind of sad about it. Like, we could use a lot of these NPCs, these voters, these people who will never wake up. They should just kind of like take their injection and go and get out of our way. Cause they're, you know, they're voting us into hell basically at this point. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I really wonder where we're going to be. And then you have Satan Klaus Schwab talking about, because everything they say they warn us about is what they're going to do. So they talked all about this plandemic. Dr. Fauci talked all about it right before it happened. Bill Gates, they all said Bill Gates bought all his vaccine stocks in 2019, talked all about this big plandemic's coming. And Satan Klaus has talked about there's going to be this cyber attacks now from, you know, these evil Russian hackers and stuff. It's going to be them again. And they'll probably shut down a lot of like banks and stuff. You know, you can't really think in terms of like everything's going to be fairly normal in the next few years. We could see most people dead in the next few years. And if that happens, who knows what the value of anything is at that point?
Yeah.
So that's actually why I more focus on, like, I'm building a ranch in the mountains of Mexico right now, and we're going to grow all our own food, which is incredibly important. They're poisoning all the food right now, literally poisoning it all with mRNA injections into tons of the food in the US. They've actually been doing it for a while. They didn't tell anyone. So we want to grow all our own food, get all our own water, filter it completely, of course. Have all of our own power via solar and other means as well, be completely self-sufficient for what's coming. And that to me is way more important than, you know, where's Bitcoin going to be in a year or two? Because I don't think, you know, unless I'm wrong and they don't do a lot of the things they said they're already going to do, you know, the things that are going to happen in the next year or two are going to be things that are apocalyptic level, biblical level events that who knows what will be the value of anything at that point. You know, they even wrote about that in the Bible about the apocalypse, that during this time that gold and silver and anything won't have any value. And I kind of see that that's where it's kind of headed. But that said, I do have some crypto. And if we're still alive and most of the people in the world are still alive in 2 years somehow, it'll probably be much, much higher. So I would go with that. But it actually hasn't been my focus or priority for a couple of years now, which is kind of weird because I have a newsletter called The Dollar Vigilante where we tell people how to make lots of money. But I've actually been more focused on survival and how we're going to survive and how we're going to live now. And it's actually so much better than how most people live in cities, which are turning into like concentration camps in so many ways. And they want to bring in these smart cities now and their QR codes. And I think that's going to be more of the issue going forward in the future. But most people can't see that that could happen and they can't imagine it happening. But when you know what we know, and especially you, Charlie, you did so much work on that book and all the research and stuff like that, you can see where a lot of this stuff is headed. And it's not headed anywhere good. And I don't even know how you stop it at this point when they have weather weapons that no one even believes exist. So they can just blow up anything now and just say, oh, that was just, you know, a hurricane just happened to blow up this whole area. Like, how do you even stop that at this point? And that's why I say the real stuff is the self-work, where if you really work, I meditate hours a day, I do self-work every day, I connect with the creator every day. No matter what happens, it doesn't affect me that much. I'm basically outside of the matrix now, and now I'm just kind of like, I'm actually kind of sticking around in the matrix for a bit here because I want to see what happens. This is going to be fascinating in the next few years.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be wild. And it reminds me of, you know, you've had Ed Griffin talk at Anarchapulco. I know this because he and I were on the same flight out of Mexico City to Acapulco. And he had he was stuck with me. And I had a million questions for him. Hey, I've got, you know, so but if you watch these videos of G. Edward Griffin talking back in the 70s to Yuri Bezmenov, the former KGB spy, they're talking about this process, the four stages, the cultural subversion. And it's a fascinating conversation because, you know, just based on the way they're dressed, that it's the late 70s. And so you're going, you know, he's talking about, well, the first stage is demoralization. And this process lasts about 20 years. And you have to educate an entire generation in this socialist way of thinking through the education system and colleges. And you kind of get them ready. And then you have the destruction phase, which is about 5 years, where you start to dismantle the levers of power and start to make, you know, the police, you know, policing subjective. And you start to just really screw with the establishment. And then he said, step three is a crisis. And that's got to be at least 6 weeks long. And I'm going, okay, COVID, 9/11, whatever. And the fourth step was the process of normalization. And he said, this is an indefinite period of time. And And what had occurred to me was you're doing the math. You're going 20 years, 5 years, 6 weeks. And then, okay, you go, all right, so 25 years from when he said that, let's just say he said it in the 80s, right? So that would be 2005 or so. And then I'm thinking, is he talking about, the transformation after something like COVID? And it's like, well, yeah, of course, there's definitely part of that. But I was like, wait, isn't 9/11 that event? And I started to think the normalization process, like, shit, we still take our shoes off before we go through TSA, like that was supposed to be a temporary measure, right? And then now that's normalized. And so I wonder if old Ed and Yuri, they were 50 years ahead of the curve on this stuff. They're talking about this stuff well in advance. And it's like, those are the types of people that I'm willing to listen to, because if you can call this out way in advance, and by the way, you're one of them too, because before you and I knew each other for the book, I'd been watching your stuff for many years, listening to what you were saying and listening to your approach and how you come at this stuff. And it all sounds crazy when it hasn't happened yet, right? And then in retrospect, you're like, oh shit, this guy called it. And what did he see that I didn't see? So here we are now. What do you see that the rest of us don't see? I mean, we're in a period where it can go either way. We could have a full breakdown of society where the population throws their hands up and says, just make it stop, I'll do whatever you want. Or we could have a scenario in which, based on all of these psyops that we've gone through over the years, there's just enough people that are paying attention that they go, no, we're not participating in it. And the next time around, the next time they try to pull this, it's not as successful and the narrative falls apart. Are you optimistic about where we are as a society, or are you just saying, where are we with it all?
I'm definitely not optimistic about society. I'm actually trying to get away from society as much as possible. Most people are completely deluded, brainwashed, fluoridated, indoctrinated, propagandized. You can't even be around these people. These people are incredibly dangerous for people like us who are like able to think. And I've kind of just noticed that more and more, and look at what's happening all over the world. And even after the COVIDs and all that, people are just becoming more and more distant. They're always like glued to their phones. But who cares about society really? Like it's a thing. If it's kind of like not a good thing now, who cares? Like, do I need society? Not really. And so I'm just trying to get away from it as much as possible. But as far as where we're going, I've got a number of theories, and I've talked about this in our newsletter and some of the videos. I think one of the things for sure is COVID's 2.0, which I think is going to be, because they've talked about it, Kill Gates has talked a lot about it, whatever they injected people with, which we're still trying to figure out what they did to people, but they've changed their DNA, so they're not really human anymore in the way that we call human. They have injected with them all these things, like these computers. They have Bluetooth codes now. So like this is insane. This is crazier than any sci-fi dystopian movie ever. All this stuff going on, and people just don't even notice or care. But I think one thing they did during this whole COVID thing, it was really interesting to see. They shut down most of the world. Most people fell for it. They all hid in their houses from nothing. And then they put up these 5G towers like everywhere in the world, and they hid them too. Like they're everywhere. These are like microwave ovens for people that they set up. So I think my best guess is they're going to do something probably using frequencies from the 5G that will set off something in these lethally injected people that might make them really, really sick, like blood spurting out of their eyes sort of stuff that will shock everyone. And it will actually put everyone into massive fear, because we've already seen it. They didn't have to do anything with the COVIDs. All they had to do was show one guy in China from some security camera video. Like, who knows if he was drunk or what? We actually found out later it was all staged by the CIA, basically, but it was just a guy and he just fell down and everyone's like, oh my God, get in your house. It's like, yeah. you talking about? But if this one, actually everywhere in the world, you're seeing people dropping on the streets, blood spurting out of their eyes, everyone in the world's going to go into massive fear. There's nothing, not going to be anything that any of us can say to them. We can't tell them what's actually happening. They won't be able to hear. They'll be scared to death. They'll try to kill you for even talking to them because they'll be so scared of dying. So that's why I say get out of society. But I think they're going to do that. And that'll really, like, they've already got all the anti-vaxxers all databased and all that kind of stuff already. So then they'll say, well, all these people caused it because, you know, this new virus came out and they were saying it's fake and don't fall for it. Don't stay home. And now look, like half the people are dying. So we're going to round up these people up. They've already got the camps built. The Joy Camp in Australia. They got a funny name for it. Do you remember what it's called?
No, but I remember they had it, the ad campaign for it made me feel like it was like an Abercrombie and Fitch ad where they had like young 20-something teenage Australian girls sitting out having coffee on their front porch of their concentration camp. And I was like, what the fuck is this? You're supposed to pretend like this isn't like you're in a jail. You're in like a jail with a fence around it. And it was like, oh, I'm just having my coffee. It's like, shut up.
Yeah, it's not called Joy Camp. It's something like Happy Camp or something. But anyway, so Orwellian. But they've got that in most countries now. So I think they'll start rounding people up like that. And then there's the whole World War III thing, which we're starting to see. They're starting to do. It all started on October 7th with the false flag attack Israel did on itself, just like 9/11. We should actually really do an updated book. it's only been a couple of years, and there's so many things to update on. It's amazing.
No.
But they did that attack on themselves, and then they're doing a genocide in like live streams. That's meant to, in my opinion, make so many people in the world angry. And then to stage like I say fake war because it's all controlled by the same people, but they'll probably have, sink a U.S. ship, just like they did with the U.S. SS Liberty. With Israel, did that to try to get them into their Yom Kippur war or whatever war that was. And they'll probably do something like that. They've got all the U.S. Navy ships over there already, so they're just ready for it to go. They'll sink one. They'll say it was Iran. It won't be Iran. It'll have been Israel or the U.S. or one of their energy weapons. And then they will attack that. And then a lot of the other countries will attack Israel. And I actually think they might destroy Israel, which actually doesn't sound that bad to me at this point, just because of how heinous what's happening in Gaza. And so many people, not all, but a lot of people in Israel actually support it. But this is all, in my opinion, going to be done on purpose. I think a lot of the Jews will go to the Ukraine, which they've been setting up. They've actually been genociding everyone in the Ukraine, the men, for the last couple of years. And they've already started moving there in the tens of thousands because a lot of the really evil Jews are Khazarians from Khazaria, which is in the Ukraine. So they're going to move them there. Then they'll do the World War III, which will be bringing Russia and China with Iran. They'll use a bunch of energy weapons. I don't think nuclear bombs are even still real. I think that was all a hoax, but they have far worse weapons now, as we saw during 9/11. Like whatever turned those towers into dust in 10 seconds, that's a pretty serious energy weapon. Yeah. So they'll do something like that. They'll say it's nukes. They'll kill, I don't know, hundreds of millions, maybe a billion people. Deagle already put out their forecast. This is a serious military company that does serious forecasts. And they said by 2025, the U.S. population will be down by like 70%, Canada 70%, Israel 70%, 80%, UK 80%. Interestingly enough, Mexico, no change. So this is going to be mostly what's in our book. They're going to destroy the West with this World War III sort of event, which is all not really real, but it's all staged by the same people. They'll probably do that around the same time as the COVID's 2.0, just to like get everyone into like unbelievable amounts of fear. Then, of course, the economy and everything will just go to zero and the currencies will hyperinflate. And they'll blame it all on, it was the COVID's and World War III. It wasn't all this money printing and all this debt that they've been going into for 100 years. And by then, most people will be dead and we'll see what happens. So that's my outlook for the next couple of years. I could be wrong. I don't really even care if I'm right or wrong. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. I have no stake in the outcome. I'm just going to live every day, just, you know, spending time with my kids and my dogs. And, you know, we're all going to die at some point anyway, whatever happens. But I think it could be something as bad as that. It might not be as soon as 2025. It could be by 2030. They keep talking about 2030 as well. That's a huge year for them, where they want to do all these things. But they're also losing lots of power, and they're losing lots of people are waking up. But I think they're too slow, and they're always one step ahead of them. I think this COVID 2.0 will get them all. Like, even the anti-vaxxers will be lining up for their vaccine, because they'll be seeing people all with blood coming out of their eyes, and they'll be panicking. And they won't be able to think. That's what they put people into fear for. And so most people probably won't make it through what's coming. I know that's not a very you're like, are you optimistic about society? I'm like, I think most people will be dead in the next couple of years, at least in the West. But maybe not like in Mexico and stuff. Like Deagle says, no change in population in Mexico. So they might be just destroying the West, and then, which is all we wrote about in our book. And then moving a lot of the power into basically, you know, China, Russia, UN sort of stuff, and then trying to install their one world, new world order from there. So, and that's what they want to do. They don't necessarily have to succeed, though. And if more people wake up, and if they wake up fast enough, and it's highly unlikely, but if they do, a lot of this stuff can be stopped. But most people still aren't there. Most people still believe the COVID is real. They are still wearing the mask. The CDC just came out and said, the Crime and Death Corporation said, put on your mask. It's the penis variant this year. And people are starting to put them on again. Like, there's nothing you can do. And so that's why I don't really even worry about it. It's all a giant, amazing play and video game that we're all involved in. We join this game right for the apocalypse, right for the ultimate finale of all this incredible stuff. And then if we get through that, I actually think then the world could be actually almost unbelievably amazing. But we have to get through the next few years.
Yeah, we do. And as George Carlin says, when you're born in this world, you're given a ticket to the circus. But when you're born in America, you're given a front row seat. And that's what it feels like these days. Jeff, where's the best place for people to find you, to support your work, and to get on board with what you're talking about?
Well, if you want to watch our videos, go to vigilante.tv, which you're on, Charlie. We call it the land of the banned. Max Egan just got banned on X again this week. So most people who are speaking this kind of stuff are on vigilante.tv. Our newsletter is at dollarvigilante.com. And then our event coming up that you're emceeing in February 12th to 16th is in Acapulco. It's in Acapulco, Mexico. And just go to narcapulco.com. And that's about it.
That's Jeff Berwick, everybody. He's the best. We wrote a book together. You should buy it and read it. You can buy that over at Amazon as well. And if you want to connect with me, the website is theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.